Vrishvasis smelled the wonderful aroma of Putana's body and he became amazed and attracted by the fragrance of her body. Kavi Karnapur and Ananda Vrindavan Champu, he explains that Putana's body, when it was burning, it smelled like a combination of aguru, which we also saw in one of the purports, aguru and sandalwood. Because these are the fragrances of Krishna's body. His body also smells like aguru and sandalwood, naturally. So then they became attracted to that smell and they were very interested to find out where is it coming from. Prabhupada says in the purport, oftentimes when a fire is burning, when there is smoke, it's not very fragrant. Just like now it's winter season in Vrindavan. If you go there, everywhere you see they're burning fires. Fires are going on. What are they burning? They're not burning Putana, and they're not burning sandalwood, and they're not burning aguru. They're burning old car tires, bicycle tires, car tires, and everyone's standing around rubbing their hands, and it's 5 degrees centigrade or 10 degrees centigrade, and everyone's going like this, and this horrible black smoke is coming from the burning tires. And it smells, it practically knocks you out when you smell it. That's what Prabhupada says. Oftentimes when there is smoke, it is not a sweet fragrance. But when Putana's body was burning, it's very, very sweet. So this is because she contacted Krishna's body. And by contacting Krishna's body, she became sweet. This theme of fragrance is actually found throughout the Gaudiya literature. Aroma, fragrance. And because this is one of the five sense objects, Gandha. We have five senses, Panchindriya, and there's the five sense objects. We have the eyes, and the eyes are looking for rupam. The eyes want, the object of the eye is sight, or we say rupam. Rupam, rasa, varsha, gandha, shabda. Five sense objects. And our senses are always reaching out for these objects. We want to see something nice, we want to smell something nice, we want to hear something nice, we want to taste something nice, we want to touch something nice. So here we have Gandha, one of those objects, fragrance. And actually smell is a very powerful sense object. The psychologists have studied the workings of the human mind and they find that of the different objects of the senses which will bring about memory, smell is one of the most powerful. Smell can trigger memory. In other words, if you see a picture of something, you see a picture of a pizza. Say you say you see a photograph of a pizza pie, or say a fresh loaf of bread, and maybe there's some steam coming off it. It just came out of the oven and it's a very expert photograph, so you see some hot steam coming off of the loaf of bread. But when you look at that photograph, it doesn't stimulate much memory. But if you're passing by on the road and some Mataji is making fresh bread and you smell that, you don't see the bread and you don't see any photograph, but that flavor, that gandha of fresh bread, when it enters your nose, immediately it triggers, it opens up your whole mind, your whole memory. You start thinking of fresh bread and the village and the home and your mother, and everything goes one by one as a sequence, like a series. So smell is a very, very powerful object. So because of smell, the bee loses his life, desire for smell. It's explained there's five different entities. And in those entities, those creatures, their senses are very strong in one department. And because of their uncontrolled senses, they lose their life. So the desire for rupam, to see some object, is very strong in the moth, butterfly type, we say moth, little tiny insect he's flying around. He likes to see the rupam. Rupam means color, design, shape. This is rupam. So when the moth, he sees the dancing flames of the fire, beautiful red color and yellow color and shape, he becomes compelled and attracted. And he's forced to fly there full speed His eyes take him. Because of his deep desire, his intense hankering to enjoy rupam. And he flies into the fire, and what happens? Khatam ho gaya. He's finished. Hari bol. He's all over. So in this way, different entities have this uncontrolled, or like the fish. The fish has desire for rasam, for swad, for taste. The maki, what's it, machi? Fish? He can't control his tongue. He's Godas. He's not Goswami. He's Godas. He can't control his tongue. So even though he had a big meal, Krishna's arranging it, all the living entities in the ocean, they get their meals. The big fish eats the little fish, the little fish, like that. Jivo jivasya jivanam. One living entity is food for another. But we see that even though the fish's belly is full, as soon as a fisherman drops a little, what do you call it, hook into the water, when he drops a hook into the water with a little worm on the end of it, a little creamy, even though that fish's belly is full, completely full, when he sees that worm, he thinks, oh, what a nice pakora. Oh, what a nice pakora. I know I'm full, but it looks very nice. Let me have that. So then he goes, he can't control his tongue, and he catches that worm, and choop, he's yanked out of the water and fried in the pan. He gets totally fried. Literally. So in this way, different sense objects. So the smell is the madhukar. The bee, he very much likes smell. So he'll fly anywhere for smell. It's so attractive, just like a bee has his hive, or he has his nest in the tree. And a tree that he has his nest in may be, say, an apple tree. And it's blossoming with apple blossoms, with flowers. Flowers of the apple are blossoming. And a very nice fragrance, and some nice nectar is there. But if there is an aam orchard, a mango grove, 1 mile or 2 miles away, which is blossoming with beautiful yellow-green flower blossoms, that honeybee will fly, he will give up those apple flowers, the flowers from the apple tree, that are right outside his door. He'll fly 2 miles away to the mango grove to smell the mango flowers. He's so much attracted by the fragrance. So this is Gandha. And so then he goes there, or he goes to the lotus flower. And he goes deep into the lotus flower, and it's late in the afternoon. It's late in the afternoon. So in the afternoon is, in the late afternoon, the sun is going down. And when the sun is setting, then gradually the lotus flower, instead of being wide open, it starts to close. The petals start to fold. And then they get, and then when the sun goes down, then the petals close like this. And what's inside the flower? Who's stuck inside the lotus flower? The bee, the madhukar, because he's completely intoxicated by the gandha, by the smell, that padma gandha, that fragrance of that lotus flowers. He can't pull himself away, even though he sees that it's closing in around him, the petals are closing in around him, and it's getting darker. He's inside, he's, oh, it's getting dark. Oh, what's happening? Anyway, this is such a nice flavor. He's smelling so nicely and drinking that nectar. He can't give it up. So in this way, these different living entities, they teach us how that if we let any one of our senses be uncontrolled, we can perish. We will die. If our eyes are uncontrolled, if our tongue is uncontrolled, if our nose is uncontrolled. So this is the Krishna consciousness is actually the process of engaging our senses in Krishna. So as I mentioned, this theme of Gandha is spread throughout the Vedic literature. It begins in Bhagavad Gita. Prithvi Gandha, Prithvi Punya Gandha Asmi. Right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Prithvi Punya Gandha Asmi. He says, I am the fragrance of the earth. That's the quality of Bhumi, is Gandha. That's a special quality that earth has. Water doesn't have Gandha, fire doesn't have Gandha, air doesn't have Gandha, ether doesn't have Gandha, but Bhumi, earth has Gandha. And it has all the other objects too. Sparsha, Gandha, Shabda, everything is in earth. All the five qualities are there. So Krishna, he says that this fragrance, from the earth comes Gulab Gandha, comes Padma Gandha, so many Gandhas come. So many fragrances come from one earth. is coming from Krishna. So this is in the Bhagavad Gita. He explains Krishna is the fragrance of the earth. And then what we read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a very nice pastime about the fragrance of Krishna's body. Just as Krishna, he says, I am the original fragrance of the earth. And so many beautiful, sweet-smelling flowers, hundreds and thousands of flowers are coming from the earth, the same earth, and they all have a different flavor and a different scent, beautiful color. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a story of Lord Chaitanya in Puri. It was the month of Vaishak, Chaitra Vaishak, like springtime, a little bit after spring. And the full moon was rising over the horizon. And it was a very beautiful evening. So Lord Chaitanya, he took all of his associates, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, and they went to the garden, Jagannath Vallabha Bagicha, Jagannath Vallabha Garden. That's the personal garden of Lord Jagannath, which they grow so many flowers for the puja of Lord Jagannath, and so much tulsi is there, and there are many pukors there, many lakes there full of lotus flowers, which they pluck and offer to Jagannath. It's a very, very beautiful garden. So Lord Chaitanya entered that garden in the nighttime, and it was very beautiful because all the trees and all the creepers, they were blossoming with beautiful flowers. And when Lord Chaitanya entered the garden, at that same time, all the six seasons appeared there. All the beautiful flowers of all six seasons appeared in that garden, especially the springtime, Basant. And there was a mild breeze blowing, a very gentle breeze was blowing. And it was carrying the sweet fragrance of aromatic flowers and creepers. So the air was full of wonderful fragrance. And the moonlight was shining. The full moon was shining through the leaves, was shining on the leaves and creepers, and they were glistening. The leaves of the trees and creepers were glistening and shining and glittering under the full moon rays. And the atmosphere was just like Vrindavan. A beautiful atmosphere like the forest of Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya was feeling very, very happy in such an atmosphere. And understanding the mood of Lord Chaitanya, then Swarup Damodar started to sing some shlokas, some poetry from Gita Govinda. And as he sang the songs from Gita Govinda, Lord Chaitanya started to dance in the garden. He started dancing in great ecstasy, remembering Krishna in Vrindavan, in the mood of Radharani. So as he was dancing and he was going from tree to tree, dancing under the different trees and touching the different creepers with his lotus hands, then suddenly under an Ashok tree, he saw in the distance, he saw Krishna standing there, Murli Manohar, with his head tilted to the side and playing his flute so sweetly. And as soon as Gauranga, when he saw, he sees, oh, Shyam! And he started running. And then when he got there, then Krishna just smiled. Just before he got there, Krishna smiled and disappeared. And when Krishna disappeared, Lord Chaitanya collapsed on the ground. Oh, Shyam! And he fainted. He went unconscious. So then after some time, he woke up. But when he woke up, he found that the entire garden of Jagannath Vallabha Bagicha was saturated with the wonderful scent of Krishna's body. And when that scent entered into the nose of Lord Chaitanya, that beautiful Gandha, when he inhaled it, it completely put him into ecstasy. And he again fell unconscious. And then, when he came to consciousness, he was completely in Vrajabhav. He was completely in the mood of Radharani. So he started singing different verses describing the beauty of Krishna's fragrance, the fragrance of Krishna's body. Krishna's body, his transcendental body, smells like a blue lotus flower and kasturi. Nilotpala and kasturi. Nila Padma. A blue lotus flower and kasturi means musk. Very heavenly fragrance. That's the natural fragrance that comes from his body. Then Krishna's transcendental body has eight lotuses. There's the lotus of his hands and his feet and his eyes and his mouth and his face and his navel. And these eight lotuses of his body, like we say, Padmanabha, Namo Pankajanabhaya, Namo Pankajamalane. There's a verse by, I think it's Queen Kunti. She says, All glories to your lotus navel. All glories to your lotus garland. All glories to your lotus face. So these lotuses of Krishna's body, they smell like a blue lotus flower with camphor. Krishna's hands or his feet, just like sometimes we come in the evening time in the temple for darshan, but we can't tolerate to sit here because it smells so bad. Because there's so many people coming for darshan, and if you have any kind of developed sensitivity in your senses, it's very smelly. I mean, it seems like, of course, it's expensive, but we should, during darshan time, we should burn, like, in all four corners, we should burn huge pots of frankincense or something. You know, because people's feet, they smell. And they don't smell sugandhi. It's not sugandhi. It's very, and I don't know how the kirtan party, I have all glories to the kirtan party, because they sit there and tolerate it for hours chanting. Especially yesterday, I was chanting, I was, oh, Krishna, please forgive me, I have to see you in my mind. I couldn't tolerate the smell, it's so bad. But Krishna's feet, Krishna's feet are padakamala, they're charna padma. They're like, they smell like kaffir, karpur and kamala. They smell like a mixture of camphor and lotus flower. So a lotus flower, when you smell a lotus flower, it opens the higher chakras of your mind. And when you smell camphor, it cools your brain. So when you smell Krishna's feet, your mind becomes very cool and very satisfied, just like we say, Nittai Pada Kamalam, Bahukoti Chandra Shushitala. Bahukoti Chandra Shushitala, Nittai Pada Kamalam. The lotus feet of Nityananda, they're more cooling, Bahukoti Chandra Shashitala. They're more cooling than millions and millions of moons. What does that cooling mean? It doesn't mean that you have to put on a kambal or a sweater. It means that your mind becomes cool. Kam, krodh, lo, moha, matsarya, shanti, shanti, shanti. Become very cool. So this Krishna's feet are like this. They're like karpur, like camphor and lotus combined. They're very, very sweet smelling. So when Lord Chaitanya was in this mood, in the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, he was in the mood of Radharani remembering Krishna in Vrindavan and remembering the beautiful flavor and scent of Krishna's body. So Lord Chaitanya spoke so many verses describing the beautiful fragrance or gandha of Krishna's body. Then he spoke one verse. He said, Madan Mohan, he said, the dramatic actor Madan Mohan has opened a shop of scents. A Gandha Dukan. He's opened a shop of scents. And he's attracting, with these Gandhas, with these different scents, he's attracting all the beautiful women of the world to his shop. And when they come to his shop, his incense shop, or his Gandha shop, he freely distributes the scent. But the problem is that once we smell the oils in his shop, or we smell the scents of Krishna's body, we can't find a pathway back to our homes. We cannot find out, we don't know how to find our way back to our houses. We become lost. So this is a very beautiful verse. In other words, Madan Mohan is enchanting me. He's captivating me by his fragrance, by his gandha, by his sparsha, by his rupam, by his shabda. So this is explained there in this story in Jagannath Vallabha about Lord Chaitanya. So of course, the gopis, the Krishna's Kaviraj, he describes the love of the gopis. We're just discussing this topic of fragrance. Because the verse is talking about fragrance, the Putana's body. So we're discussing something about fragrance and hearing something about the glories of Krishna. Because actually we are Krishna's devotees, or we're trying to be. So it's nice to hear about Krishna, his philosophy and his sweetness. So there, Krishna's Kaviraj, he describes the love of the gopis. He says, Shuddha Prema, Raja Devi, Kama Gandha Hina. He says that the Shuddha Prema, the pure love of the gopis of Vrindavan, Raja Devis, the pure love of the Raja Gopis, the pure Krishna consciousness, Shuddha Prema, Raja Devi, Kam Gandha Nahi. There is no fragrance, there is no scent of lust. The pure love of the gopis for Krishna, the pure love of Radharani for Rasa Vihari, does not have any fragrance of lust. no selfishness. Their love is totally pure, totally selfless. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. In fact, if Krishna finds happiness, if Krishna finds happiness by giving me distress, if it makes Krishna happy to see me unhappy, then that unhappiness becomes the greatest source of my happiness. Who can conceive of such selfless love? So this absolute selfless love is the love of the gopis. And that's described by Krishna's Kaviraj. Kama Ganda Hina. Hina, it's without any fragrance, no ganda of kama, lust. There's no selfishness, there's no, oh, Krishna, I'll do a little bit for you if you do a little bit for me. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. I'll collect for life membership if you'll give me 20%. You give me my percentage, I'll collect for you. No percentage, no collection. Like that. So we have our conditions. We lay our conditions. But we say the unconditional love, the unalloyed love, no conditions. Ahoitakiya pratiyata. No, their percentage is Krishna. I have 100% of my hand, mind, heart, body, words, soul, everything. 100% for you. Whether you give me this or that, I don't care. You're my everything. So, Lord Chaitanya, he was dancing in ecstasy and oftentimes displaying symptoms of love of God. And so one particular time, the devotees were glorifying him. And he said, at that time, he said, na prema ganda. I don't have a fragrance, I don't have a whiff of love for Krishna. You see me, sometimes I'm crying in separation from Krishna, and you think that this is a symptom of this braja, this viraha bhav, this is a symptom of transcendental ecstasy, that you're crying, Krishna, 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 hey Krishna. I'm only making a show. When you see tears in my eyes, I'm only making a show. It's only a demonstration. I don't have any love for God. I have no love for Krishna. Because if I had love for Krishna, how could I maintain this insect-like body? This worthless body is worthless like the body of an insect, but yet still I'm maintaining it. Still I'm living in this material world, eating and sleeping. That is the proof that I have naprema ganda. I have no flavor, no aroma, not even a whiff, not even a scent, not even a smell of love of God. This is Lord Chaitanya's great humility. Then in the Anchalila, last chapter, chapter 20, Lord Chaitanya speaks a verse. Trinadapi sunichena sarariva sahishuna amanina manidena kirtaniya sadahari. And then he gives commentaries on this verse. And he explains about it. And he says that one of the symptoms, because the verse is about humility, one should be very humble and very tolerant and free, amani, free from false ego and desire for pratishtha, and be ready and willing and eager and desirous to worship others and to praise others and to serve others. And then he explains that the symptom of one, in the commentary on this verse, Trinadapi Sunichana, Lord Chaitanya personally explains, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that the symptom of one who has love of Godhead, there's two qualities of one who is developing love of Godhead. One is desperation, and the other is humility. I don't know how you translate desperation in Hindi. How would you say that in Hindi? Desperation. Very, very desperate. Utkant, ati utkanta, and humility, dainya, something, dainya. So one must have the symptom of one who's actually advancing towards Krishna prema is that he is full of humility and a mood of desperation. It's explained that this material world, this is a platform of the plane, P-L-A-N-E, plane means the level, the platform, the grounds for exploitation. Man is exploiting woman, woman's exploiting man, the whole human race is exploiting Mother Nature, exploiting Mother Earth, taking the oil, taking this, that, everything. So this is the plane of exploitation. But then Vaikuntha Dham, Narayan Lok, that is the place of dedication. That is where the souls become dedicated in a relationship to the Lord, to serve the Lord. They're dedicated. They're very dedicated servants. But then when you go to the topmost realm of Vaikuntha, to the inner core of the lotus flower, to the corolla of the lotus flower of Vaikuntha, to Brajagokul, and then you find the residents of Vrindavan, Nanda, Yashoda, Lalita, Vishaka, Sridham, Sudham, Subal, and Radharani, and you find all those residents of Vrindavan. What is that plane? What is that place? That is a plane of desperation. The gopis are desperate to serve Krishna. They go completely mad to serve Krishna. Mother Yashoda is desperate to serve Krishna. She goes mad to serve Krishna. Sridham and Subal and Balaram, they go mad to serve Krishna. They're so desperate. But this type of intensity, this type of urgency will not be found in Vaikuntha Bhav. Will not be found in Vaikuntha. So this is, these qualities Lord Chaitanya is saying in this commentary, that we have to have this humility and develop this mood of desperation. So he describes there, he says that a devotee who is actually advancing towards a platform of love of God, he will be very, very humble. And he will think himself, what will he think of himself? He will think, I have no love for Krishna. Again, na prema ganda. This ganda is there again. He'll say, I don't even have a fragrance. I don't have a whiff or a fragrance or any kind of love for Krishna. I'm not even a devotee. The symptom of one who's actually advancing towards Krishna prema is that he is Krishna. He'll feel, I have no love for Krishna. Because I'm living in this body, I'm wasting so many hours sleeping and so many hours eating and so many hours talking Brahmikata and all these things. Where is my love for Krishna? So this humility, when he assesses himself and analyzes himself, he'll think, I'm not a devotee. He'll feel it. Genuinely feel, I'm not a devotee. I have no love for Krishna. I have no attachment or attraction. This kind of feeling. And then, from that foundation or platform of humility, he'll be very desperate. Where is Krishna? How can I find Krishna? Hey Krishna, like Goswamis, they're in that mood of desperation. This mood of desperation is the shadow of viraha. We have the form and the substance. Where you have the shadow and the substance and the shadow. If you're in this mood of separation from Krishna, if you're feeling separation from Krishna, then coming along with the mood of separation or viraha is this great urgency or this sense of desperation. I must advance now. I must smell Krishna's fragrance now. I must see Krishna now. I must touch Krishna now. And this creates utsaha. This is enthusiasm. And everything is based on enthusiasm. But when one becomes complacent, when one becomes lackadaisical or overconfident, oh yes, I'm doing quite nicely, now I'm Brahmin, now I'm Guru, now I'm Sannyasi, now I'm Temple President, now I'm whatever I am, we become comfortable and lazy. And we lose our cutting edge. But the person who's actually progressing, one who has progressive consciousness, he's always feeling very desperate to advance in Krishna consciousness. And this is actually what one derives when he studies the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he reads about the lives of the Mahajans, or especially he reads about the Vrijvasis, how desperate they were. It's explained here, Vraja Okasa, that even the Vrijvasis that were in distant places, they were in distant places around Vraj, because Vraj is Tarosi Kosh. It's Tarosi Kosh Parikrama. It's a large area, Vraj, Dwadasavan. So even if they were in Barsan or Nandagram or wherever they were, Kampan, wherever they were in Braj, they ran to that place when they smelled the Ganda, Aguru and Chandan, from the burning body. So because it spread everywhere, all over Braj. Not only did it spread everywhere, but Kavi Karnapur says that the fragrance of Putana's body was spreading all the way through the universe, all the way to Vaikuntha. So even the devotees in Vaikuntha were attracted. What is this sweet smell that's coming? And they also wanted to run down to Vrindavan to see. But they don't have the adhikar. Even Lakshmi Devi herself cannot enter Vrindavan. Well, she's there, but she's in Vailvan doing tapasya. She's also attracted to cross the river Yamuna and experience the love of the gopis. So the gopis in Vrindavan, they have this mood of desperation. When you read about the emotions and the exchanges between Krishna and Yashoda, Krishna and Nanda, Krishna and Balaram, and Sridham Subal, and the gopis, you see what intensity there is. So this is the qualifying factor in the life of a devotee, that he must absorb by associating with these ragatmikas, by associating with these eternal associates of the Lord, who have rag. Their atma is made of Krishna rag. What does atma mean? Atma means their mind, their words, their heart, their bodies, their souls. Everything is made of rag, anurag, intense love for Krishna, intense attachment. So when you read about them and hear about them, then we should derive within our hearts this mood of desperation. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Prithvi, Prithvi Punya Ganda Asmi. He says, I am the original fragrance of the earth. So what is Ganda? Ganda is smell, fragrance, sweet smell of a flower is fragrance, or the bad smell of a stool field, or the repulsive smell of laj or piyaj. You know, to some it's repulsive, to some it's like nectar. One in sattva gun will smell piyaj and laj, what's it, piyaj, laj, onions and garlic, it's just like... But someone in Tamagun, oh, very nice. Very good. So what is Ganda? What is Ganda? Ganda is a potency. It is a potency, means it's a Shakti. So Shakti means power. So the origin of all Shakti is Shakti Mayi. Shakti Man Sri Krishna, Shakti Mayi Radharani. Radharani is the source of all Shakti. She's Shakti Mayi. So why, therefore, we see that Radharani is glorified by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When he named his deities in Mayapur, he said, Shri Shri Gandharvika, Gandharvika Giridhari. Gandharvika Giridhari. And Das Goswami, when he received the Govardhan Shila and the Gunjamala, representing the Rupam of Radharani and the Rupam of Krishna, then he called his deities Gandharvika Giridhari. So what is this Gandharvika? Gandharvika means Ganda. Ganda means that Radharani's body is very fragrant. Naturally very, very sweet and fragrant. And Bhavanamrita, Krishna Bhavanamrita, Vishnu Chakravartipad, explains, how does the earth get fragrance? Because Krishna says, I am the fragrance of the earth. Krishna says, I am that fragrance. But fragrance is a Shakti. So where does Krishna get his Shaktis from? Shakti Mayi. So how did the earth get fragrance? So Vishnu Chakravartipad explains that when Radharani, when she's in Varsana, and the Mandris and Sakis are dressing Radharani, when they take her sari off, and when Radharani's sari drops on the earth, when Radharani's sari hits the earth, then the earth attains fragrance. So the earth has fragrance because it has contacted the sari of Radharani, Gandharvika. And sometimes Radharani, she comes to Kusum Sarovara in the morning time at 11 o'clock, 10:30, 11. And she makes some garlands. She picks some flowers and she makes some garlands. And then she gives them to Brindadevi. And Brindadevi, she makes arrangements. She meets some of the coward boys, Subal or Sridham, and they take the garland to Krishna. So when Krishna gets the garland, he takes the garland and as soon as he lifts it up, that mala, Vaijayanti mala, near his nose, then what does he smell? He doesn't smell the flowers. He smells the fragrance of Radharani's hat. Hat Ganda. Hat Ganda. The sweet smell of her hands. He smells, he's going like this. And then the coward boys are saying, Krishna, why don't you wear it? He says, no, I'm just the fragrance of Radharani's hands is so wonderful. It totally captivates my nose. So he's smelling the, because when you touch something, it leaves your fragrance. Leaves it, the fragrance from your body. So when Radharani is making a garland, it is not only is it flavored with the aroma of her hands, which are like sweet lotuses, but it's flavored with the aroma of her love, her prema ganda. So Krishna is relishing that. And this, of course, is how we're supposed to make a garland. When you make a flower garland, you're not stringing flowers together, you're stringing your love. You're putting your love on a string and offering it to the Rasa Bihari. Oh, this flower and that flower, a yellow one and a red one and a blue one and yellow, and five red ones and three yellow ones, and it's balanced. No, it's supposed to be prema ganda mala. The mala is supposed to be saturated with the fragrance of your prema, with your love for Krishna. Krishna, I love you with this flower. I love you with the yellow flower. I love you with the red flower. I love you with the blue flower. So, then, it's also explained in Radharas Sudaniti by Prabodhananda Saraswati. He says, sometimes Krishna, has his arm on Subal's shoulder. He's resting on Subal's shoulder. And they're just talking about the cows, about the weather, and all of a sudden, Krishna's hair stands on end, and he starts saying, oh, Radhe, Radhe, and he faints on the ground. And Subal and all the coward boys gather around Krishna and say, hey, Krishna, Krishna, wake up, wake up. What's wrong, what's wrong? Because they don't understand, a great mystery has happened. Because nearby, at some distance at Radhakund, Radharani has arrived at Radhakund. And there's some wind is blowing. Some north wind is blowing. And the boys are at Gwalpakur. Gwalpakur is nearby Ratnavedi. It's on the, right on Govardhan. There's a beautiful kund there. And all the boys are sitting there having some tiffin and sweets and they're just joking. But when that wind is blowing from the north, it blows through the kunja. And it blows past Radharani's body. And it carries Radharani Sugandhi. Gandharvika. It carries the Ganda of Radharani and it goes down, down, down and it goes into the groves of Govardhan. And when Krishna has his hand on Subal, he smells that aroma of Radharani's body. Hey, Radhe. Completely murka. Completely unconscious. But none of the coward boys, they're all thinking, what happened? What happened? Because the smell of Radharani's body is only for Krishna. Gandharvika. So, in this way, Radharani has the name Gandharvika. Of course, it means she's a wonderful singer. It means she's a wonderful dancer. That is obvious. But this, the acharyas give these other means. Ganda means this beautiful smell. So we have to, the point of this verse is that we have an intense desire to smell some sweet fragrance. So we have to engage all of our senses in smelling contacting the Krishna prasad, the objects that are offered to Krishna. And that will purify all of our senses. And then in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami explains about the purifying effect of incense. In the Padma Purana, there's a discussion between Gautama Rishi. Gautama Rishi and Ambarish Maharaj are having a discussion. So Gautama Rishi says, Ambarish Maharaj, why do you offer incense to the Lord? Why do you offer Agarbati, Dupam, Esha, Dupam, Klim Krishnaya Namaha? Why do you offer incense to the Lord? And why do you offer Arti and bow your head? Then Ambarish Maharaj, he explained by citing different Puranas. He said, actually, if someone smells the incense which is offered to the Lord, he receives more purity or punya than going on hundreds and millions of pilgrimages. Just by coming into Thakurji's temple and smelling some Radharas Bihari's Maha incense, taking that deeply into your nose, that will give you the purity and the punya karma, the punya fall of going on millions, hundreds and millions of pilgrimages. And not only that, Ambarish Maharaj continued, if that incense is on your clothes, if it goes into your cloth, then when you're wearing that cloth, you're wearing that dhoti or sari, which is suffused and saturated with the incense, with the Agarbhati Duma, then you will be free from disease, you will be free from inauspiciousness, and you will be free from all accidents and disasters just by carrying the incense on your cloth. And when I read this, it reminded me of a funny incident. When I was once in a store, I was shopping for the temple, I was dressed in sannyas cloth and I was buying some things for the devotees. I was a temple commander that day. Because in the West, sometimes you do everything. Because it's very small. So I was a temple president, temple commander, everything at one small temple. So we were inside, we're buying some things, and we're standing in line paying the lady. So the lady said, oh, you smell so good. So what kind of cologne are you using? What kind of aftershave? I said, I'm not using anything. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, no, you smell so good. And then wow, yeah, it smells really good. Because what happens is our dhoti and everything smells like incense. So he says that anyone who is moving somewhere and carrying, he's carrying on his body, he's carrying the fragrance or the aroma of Krishna's incense that's been offered to the Lord, or the guns of the oil, He will be free from all calamities, and his whole day will be auspicious. That's why in Vrindavan, you see all the Mathura Brahmins, they always carry a little thing here in their ear. See, this part of the ear, there's a little storage space here. Because Madan Mohan has opened a shop of scents, remember? Lord Chaitanya told us he's opened a Gandha Dukan. He's opened a shop of scents. So Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, he's distributing so many beautiful fragrances and beautiful oils. But you have to have somewhere, not only is he giving the oil, but he gives you somewhere to store them. So first you smell them, then you store them here, this little pouch. Everyone's ear has a little pouch. And that's where you put some nice oil, Mahaprasad. Then when you're going here and there, and it's a very smelly world and stinky world, you take it, Vaikuntha. So this is the secret that Krishna has given us. So we have to engage our senses in these ways. And Ambarish Maharaj is preaching about the glories of smelling the incense of the Lord and wearing the fragrances of the Lord on our cloth and our body, how it's so auspicious for us. And this is devotional service, to engage all of our senses in the objects, Krishna's objects, Krishna's sparsha. That's why we take Brahman initiation, so we can touch the body of the deity. When you touch the body of the deity, all your desires are fulfilled. So sparsha is engaged in touching Krishna. Just like King Ambarish Maharaj himself, he sets the example of engaging all of his senses in Krishna's service. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayor, vachamsi vaikuntha gunanivarane. First he engaged his mind. If your mind is always thinking of Krishna, the mind is sense number six. It is the sixth sense. Number six is the mind. The panchindriya and the mano. Man is one sense. So with the mind is the controller. If the mind is always thinking of Krishna, then everything else is in Krishna's service. So we think of Krishna by chanting his holy name. But so he was always thinking of Krishna, so then his head was always bowed down, offering obeisances to Krishna. His eyes were always engaged in seeing the deity form of Rasa Bihari, Gauranitai, Sitaram, and seeing the Leela stans of Krishna, Rajabhumi, Jagannath Puri, Leelachala Dham, Mayapur Dham. His eyes were always seeing the Leela stalis of Krishna. And then his ears were always hearing the sweet Harinam and Harikata, Harikatamrita. And his nose is always engaged in smelling the incense offered to the Lord and the oils offered to the Lord. And his tongue was always engaged in tasting Krishna prasadam and speaking about Krishna. And his sense of touch was engaged in touching the bodies of the Vaishnavas and touching Tulsi and touching the Lord. By touching the body of Tulsi, we become purified. That's why we chant on Tulsi beads, to purify sparsha. Tulsi is a pure devotee, Nitya Parikar, eternal associate of the Lord. So we chant on Tulsi, we're touching Tulsi. We're purifying a sense of touch. So the more we hold on to our Tulsi beads, then we won't want to hold on to other things. So in this way, and his legs were engaged in walking to the temple and going on prikrama of the temple. In this way, all of his body was engaged. So this is Krishna consciousness, to engage all of our senses in Krishna's prasadam, in the objects of Krishna. And then we're always smelling the sweet fragrances of Krishna. Then we will become, our consciousness will become very fragrant, very sweet. By engaging all of our senses in Krishna's service, then our consciousness will develop the sweetness of Seva Bhav. Seva Bhav brings a sweetness to it. Bhava Mangala Thakur in Krishna Karnamrita, he describes the sweetness of Krishna. He says, Krishna's body is very sweet, but Krishna's face is even sweeter. But Krishna's smile, which is sweet, which is fragrant and sweet like honey, is even sweeter still. So he's describing that Krishna's smile is like fragrant, it's fragrant, it's gandha, madhuganda. It's fragrant like honey. And it's the sweetest part of Krishna's body, his smile. And the smile of Krishna is contained in the 10th canto, Bhagavatam, describing Braj Leela. And when we come before the deity of Rasa Bihari and we see his smiling face, what happens? Prabhupada explains, when you see the smiling face of the deity, it destroys ahankara. That's why people don't like to stand very long in front of the deities. So because if they stand there and drink the sweet ambrosia of Krishna's transcendental form through their eyes, then they're finished. Their raybucks are finished. their Adidas are finished, you know, they'll hang up their Reeboks, they'll join the temple, because if you, Prabhupada would stand for hours on end gazing at the sweet face, Madhurya Mukh, Govindaji. So this is what happens. The more you look at Krishna, the more your false ego gets destroyed. And you replace the idea with I am the enjoyer with the reality that I am Krishna's loving servant. So materialists, they don't want to look too long at Krishna. Just like tantrics, people know, be careful, don't look at a tantric. Don't let a tantric look you in the eye, because if a tantric looks you in the eye, he'll put a zap on you. So Krishna is the same way. He is Yogeshwara. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. He is the supreme Yogeshwara. So if you look at him, he will put a zap on you. Boing. He will captivate you and enchant you. That's why he's known as Murli Manohar. So these are some thoughts about the fragrance of Krishna. We can consider these ideas. Gandharvika. Such a beautiful name for Krishna. Names, these are called Premanam. Premanam is names which have Leela inside. Unlimited Leela. So when you chant these names, Radharasa Vihari, Radhashama Sundar, these names, Hari, Krishna, Sham, Radhika, Raman, they're full of Prema. So they produce so many Leela. So Gandharvika is such a wonderful name of Radharani. So we want to be attracted to Radharani, to this Gandha, the sweet fragrance. And the flowers, like Prabhupada, in relation to Krishna's smile, our eyes are attracted to Rupam. We want to see nice color, nice shape, nice form. Rupam. So, you look at a flower, and a flower, there's so many beautiful colors, and so many beautiful shapes. And Prabhupada said that the flowers represent Krishna smiling. When you see beautiful flowers, you're seeing the smile of Krishna. So the man's eyes, he wants to see the Rupam, Stri Rupam. Or the woman wants to see Admi Rupam. She wants to see the form of man. But that form means some movement, some color. So the man may have, a man or a woman may have form, she may have shape, she may have color, but she doesn't have any fragrance. Not in this world. But Krishna, a flower, so you're just looking at a flower, you're actually seeing Krishna's smiling face. You're seeing, not only does it have shape, has form, has color. Like ladies dress in all kinds of colorful saris and dresses. To try to what? To try to attract with color. Because color is attractive. Color, color and shape and movement are attractive. But Krishna has all these things unlimitedly. So we become attracted. A lady's trying to, but who? What's more colorful, a flower or a lady's sari? They have all so many colorful saris. They're trying to imitate the colors of Krishna's flowers. So let your eyes be attracted to Krishna Rupam. Or Gandha, you want to smell something of this world. But smell the beautiful flowers and the incense offered to Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. We must have objects for the senses. We have senses and they must have objects. We must always give them Krishna's objects. We must saturate them with Krishna prasad. Krishna enjoys so many things and then he gives them to us and we become purified and attached and increase our love for him. So spend more time in the temple. Devotees, oftentimes, they don't spend much time in the temple. They come to Mangalarti. You can ask yourself, how many hours do I spend at home? How many hours do I spend in the office? How many hours do I spend in the temple? Which one is least? The temple. Of course we have our jobs, we have our responsibilities in home and jobs, but we should spend more time in the temple. The more time we spend in the temple, we have a temple in our home, that's okay. I don't mean you have to come home from your... If you have a temple in your home, you sit down in front of your... Even if you have a temple in your home, you never spend 10 minutes there except for, you know, a couple times a day. Krishna's there playing his flute, he's there with Radharani, you're busy running here and there. You never even say hello to him. Or change his water. Oh, Krishna, maybe it's very hot today. Maybe you're thirsty. I'll change your water today. It's not that every day I offer one cup of water. Maybe in the summer he wants two cups. Or three. It's called Bhav. Bhav Seva. Develop feelings for Krishna. It's explained in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, if one offers Krishna incense, which is made of aguru and chandan. Of course, aguru is a very costly thing. Anyway, if one offers incense of aguru and sandalwood combined, made from aguru and sandalwood, if he offers incense like that, then what happens? What is the fall? 100 generations of his ancestors get liberated. So I read that in Hari Bhakti Vilas, and I was thinking, in this pastime, we're talking about Putana got burned. She was burned, chopped up and burned by the Brijvasis. And when she was burning, because she contacted Krishna, she became fragrant. When her body was burning, it smelled like a combination of aguru and chandan. And that aguru and chandan went all the way through the universe and went all over Vrindavan. So that aguru and chandan was offered to all the deities of Krishna and was personally offered to Vaikunthanath, Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu. So what was the result of that? Because Putana's body got turned into incense, aguru and chandan, then 100 generations of her ancestors, her relatives, got liberated. What is the proof of that? Because later, when Bakasura came and Agasura came to Vrindavan, they were killed by Krishna. And what happened to them? They were liberated. So this is the proof of the Shastras, that if you offer this incense... So her body was a big stick of incense. Her body was a 12-mile incense stick, 12 miles long. Sometimes you buy those 4-hour incense sticks, those big ones. That would solve all, you know, Siddhartha's problems. He just lights a 12-mile incense stick and the whole year it's covered. I don't think they could sell those on traveling Sankirtan. It's a little too big to fit into the bus. So like this, of course, another thing we were thinking about Ganda is that in this verse, the Brijvasis were saying, Kutaha. They say, Ganda, Kutaha. Where is that smell coming from? What is the smell? They became captivated by it. And they wanted to race and find out where it was. So in the same way, in Los Angeles, Prabhupada established an incense factory called Spiritual Sky. And the Spiritual Sky factory used to be near the Los Angeles freeway, big highway. And anybody who was going on that freeway, when you're going into because I was living in Santa Monica and working in Los Angeles, when you go by that freeway, by Culver City, by the factory, it was a factory where the Hare Krishnas were dipping their incense, every day it had a different smell. So you'd ride along the freeway in your car and go, wow, what's that? Oh, that's strawberry. Wow, what? I remember my first smell. What is that strong strawberry smell? It's like fruits. And then someone said, oh, that's the Hare Krishna incense factory. I said, really? What's that Hare Krishna? Where is that? Kutaha. Kutaha. Like the Brijvasis said, Kutaha, where is that factory? Where is that temple? Oh, I said, such a nice smell. And then you drive by another day and it's, you know, kasturi smell and chandan smell. You go, wow. They were, the whole area within 1 or 2 kilometers of the factory was smelling just like incense. So I remember when I said, where is that smell? And then one time I ran to the temple, and then I entered the temple, and that was basically it. I smelled the incense and fragrances offered to the Lord, and I was finished. Prabhupada, in Los Angeles, when we used to greet the deities, we would put charcoals, little charcoals, in front of each of the altars. And then Prabhupada ordered us to burn frankincense and myrrh. I don't know what he's saying in Hindi, but frankincense and myrrh, which are like crystals. They come from a tree. It's like gum of a tree. It's very fragrant. And he said that, and then we would, if you were a pujari, you had to fan the coals so they would get red hot very fast, and then the whole deity room filled with smoke. Then they would open the doors, greeting the deity, Sringar Arti, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamam Bhajami. And Prabhupada said it should be so much smoke inside when you open the doors you can't see the deities. And I remember how celestial it was and how divine it was. This Duma, because this verse talks about Duma. It says that you know, when you look, you couldn't see the deities. Prabhupada just be standing there. And there's all this blue, heavy blue smoke filling the whole deity room, coming out into the temple room. And finally it would kind of rise and you would see Gauranitai smiling through the haze of smoke. So Prabhupada, when it was like that, very thick smoke, blue smoke coming out, Prabhupada turned to the devotee and said, yes. This is Vaikuntha. He said, this is Vaikuntha. And then I remember hearing Jananibas was telling in Mayapur, every evening at around sunset, he would have a small brass pot, and he put coals inside, and he put some Duma, some frankincense, and he would fan it. Then he would come into Prabhupada's room in Mayapur in the Lotus building. Prabhupada's sitting there just speaking with some people or whatever. And then he would come in, and he would close all the windows and doors and fan this incense, this smoke, the fragrance, Ganda. And fill the whole room. And then he would start to leave. And Prabhupada would say, hey, wait a minute, more. So Prabhupada would have him make so much smoke that Prabhupada, Jananibas, couldn't see Prabhupada through the smoke. There was someone, Prabhupada was sitting at his desk, and he said, Prabhupada, I can't even see where you are. He said, no problem. All the mosquitoes will go now. So that's another pastime about Gandha, smoke, fragrant smoke. So in these ways, we kind of absorb ourselves in the smoke. This verse talks about Kata Dumasya Saurabhyam. So we want to purify all of our senses by contacting the sweetness of Krishna. Balabhacharya has a wonderful bhajan. Balabhacharya sings a wonderful bhajan where everything is sweet. You know, Vila Madhuram, Gava Madhuram, Ganda Madhuram, Swaki Madhuram, everything is Madhuram. Madharadi Paterakilam Madharam, Madharadi Paterakilam Madharam. He says everything is sweet about the Lord of Sweetness. Everything is sweet. Krishna's name is sweet. Namam Madharam. Your cows are sweet. Your name is sweet. Your rupam is sweet. Your smell is sweet. Everything is sweet about the Lord of Sweetness. So he goes on a whole long prayer. Krishna's flute is sweet. Krishna's Srishti Madharam. His creation is sweet. His destruction is sweet. Everything is sweet. So in this way, we want to taste this sweetness. And by smelling this fragrance is offered to the Lord, our consciousness will develop a wonderful fragrance. Our consciousness will become fragrant like a lotus flower. And that fragrance will emanate. And it will saturate and emanate. It will emanate and saturate the people that we meet and the people we associate with. They will bathe in the sweet fragrance of our lotus consciousness. And this is Krishna consciousness. It is spread by spreading the sweetness of Krishna. Tasting it, smelling it, touching it, and distributing it. This is Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.